I want you to turn to the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel. I was reminded last week by Dr. Murray of the infrequency with which preachers preach through the Old Testament. And so to remedy that, there is a series that will be going on and off in which I will try to address an Old Testament passage at least once every other month or so. And this morning we're looking at a passage that Jonathan Edwards preached, and as you read through the sermon notes, you'll see I acknowledge my indebtedness to the framework for this sermon from him. Beginning in verse 13, listen to the Word of God. "Behold, I strike my hand at the dishonest gain that you have made, and at the blood that has been in your midst. Can your courage endure, or can your hands be strong in the days that I shall deal with you?" That is a question that is not just a hyperbole. The answer is obvious. You will not stand when God deals with you. Now, I want to also read from the passage I just alluded to, Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and following. "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die. But God showed His love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now that we are reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." Security. Webster defines the word this way: the state of being or feeling secure, freedom from fear, anxiety, doubt, danger, etc. State or sense of safety or certainty. Well, that is something that we as individuals all feel a need for. A sense of security. We want security from financial crisis. We want security from situations that would harm our families. These are natural. But there is also a false security that people labor under, in which they think all is well, when in fact they're in a dangerous and precarious situation. The historical context in which the text of Ezekiel it's an indictment against the city of Jerusalem. The city is characterized by a number of very sinful traits. It is a bloody city. This blood guiltiness included the killing of children by offering them as sacrifices to idols. It was a lewd city, full of sexual immorality. It was a corrupt city, full of slander. Its wickedness included the dishonoring of parents. The noted Old Testament scholar Charles Feinberg said, "This relationship, children and parents, ultimately underlines the proper submission of citizens to their rulers. If parents were slighted, the sojourner could not hope for consideration." In verse 12, the root cause of all this wickedness is stated. "You have forgotten me," declares the sovereign Lord. And since God is at the center of all moral relations, social and moral rights and properties are secure only when God is recognized in His sovereign rule. And so the application is obvious. Dealing with God and the implications for impenitent sinners. Notice how the text underscores the fact that God will deal with sinners. Now, it may appear for the time being that that's not happening. But the Apostle Paul said, God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world through Jesus Christ. He said that in his sermon to the Athenians on Mars Hill in Acts 17. In our own text, Paul talks about wrath is coming. In Romans 1, he said, do you not know that you are storing up wrath? It's earning interest. And so it may seem for a while that we sin with impunity. Nothing happens. And people like to think that there's a quid pro quo, and there are natural consequences to evil behavior, of course. If you are a profligate, if you are a drug user, if you involve yourself in sexual promiscuity, there's going to be a price to be paid, because do not think that sin is something that doesn't bring with it its own penalty. But that's something subservient to the judgment that God promises he will inflict upon impenitent sinners. Now you read the text in Ezekiel. How will you stand before God when he reckons with you? People like to think that that God is only a God of love, and that he is so merciful that he would never punish people for their sins, at least not eternally. But the Bible does not portray a God like that. In fact, if God did not maintain his justice, if his holiness was something that could be dispensed with, he would cease to be God. The other notion is that we can somehow, by the power of belief, create reality. Then we can shape and form God into our own liking. Well, that's a foolish mistake. If God is, as the Bible describes him, your belief or disbelief will not alter him one bit. You're not capable of shaping God into a deity that is more manageable. This is the foolhardiness of people who actually think, well, I could only believe in a God who behaved this way. Well, if that was the case, you would be God, but you're not. But now the reality is this. If you read the text in Ezekiel and the atrocious sins that the city of Jerusalem were indicted for, and then you go over to the fact that Paul said, outside of Christ, we were enemies of God. Now, you tell that to people. I say, I don't feel any enemy, any hostility or enmity toward God. Oh, the God of the Bible you do. You may not have one according to the God of your own making. He is this Santa Claus figure, benign and indifferent to your sins, which you may classify as indiscretions and things like that. I, from time to time, made reference to that song by Frank Sinatra, I Did It My Way, and which he has mistakes. I had a few, but then few to the mention. That's the typical mentality that people have, that, yeah, I may be guilty of some sins and some things that God would disapprove of, but after all, they weren't big ones. I haven't committed really atrocities like Adolf Hitler or Joseph Stalin or somebody like that. And so we have to judge ourselves in light of other people, and we come out looking pretty good in the process. But Paul says, we too were once enemies, alienated from the life of God, hostile to the things of God. You see, the gospel is about confronting people with reality. Francis Schaeffer once said, do not ever present the gospel as something that is useful, but as something that's true. You know, there's a psychological approach that many Christians have tried to evangelize with. Wouldn't you like to have a happy and fulfilled and abundant life? Wouldn't you like to have joy unending? It's like dangling the carrot in front of a horse. Yeah, that's right. And so if you come to Jesus, he'll solve your problems. Now, I do not want to underestimate the power of the gospel to change people's lives and to give them a sense of meaning and purpose and joy. But those are the byproducts. Having peace with God is because there is now reconciliation. You see, the text in Ezekiel, will you be able to stand with a God who is your enemy? And he's going to hold you accountable. You can't do it. The book of Hebrews says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? That's the same book that says later on, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. In fact, the Apostle Paul tells the Corinthians there is such a thing as the terror. He uses the word to describe something frightening. The terror of the Lord. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we beseech men, be ye reconciled. You see, reconciliation is because the animosity, the hostility has been addressed. And the gospel is about how it's been addressed. Through the cross in which Jesus took upon himself the guilt of sinners and paid a price to satisfy the justice of God. You see, what Ezekiel is describing is not just a historical way back then. He's describing what people will face when they confront God today as well. I have to tell you, you may have watched recently or this past year the undercover videos in the Planned Parenthood in which they talk so casually about dismembering babies and crushing their skulls. And all I could think of was the text in Ezekiel. What are you going to do the day that God reconciles, that God demands a recompense from you? How are you going to answer? I'm mindful of the Nazi war criminals at Nuremberg who said they were only doing as they were ordered, as if that kind of exculpates them from any kind of culpability. But it's not just the people at Planned Parenthood who will be held in the balance when God judges them. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there are none righteous, no, not one. The gospel is for unrighteous people who deserve judgment. That's why we celebrate the Lord's Supper every week, to remind us that Christ has given himself for us, and that in his body and blood, God now is at peace with sinners.